Broadcasting from the super secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
That might keep us from getting sued.
Oh dear. I think breakout, these, you were talking about the breakout roles and how they, maybe they, I think they develop because that actor shows their stuff and they,
yeah,
like the cream rising to the top. This may be unfair of me, but I think that Silas Mitchell may be the better actor.
Oh, I would agree with you. And I think we're going to run into, we come back to the pretty people problem.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily going to cast him
as
the lead in this kind of show, which is a shame because I think he could carry the lead very, very well. But there's a certain idea for this kind of show.
Yes.
The hero's going to look like this.
Yeah,
the hero.
He's got the square jaw and the cool hair and he's got the girlfriend and the cool job. And yeah, yeah. But at the same time, yeah, I would say he is a better actor. And this is not a knock on the guy playing Nick.
No, and that's what I mean. And I felt like the first season, I felt like he was floundering. I mean, maybe it was the writing. Maybe they didn't know what the Nick character was supposed to be. But it was, he was not very interesting. He was the least interesting part of the whole show.
Well, your breakout roles, though, a lot of times it's not necessarily as much the actor or the writing as the actor and writing together. Because when it really clicks.
Right.
Because you could have a great actor in a role, and if it doesn't click, you know, it's never going to resound with anybody. But then you could have a mediocre actor who just has that right role that clicks with people, and you're going to have that breakout. And so I don't think they really necessarily intend to write breakout roles, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. One of the things, I want to say one last thing about Grimm, and that is that I really appreciate that their female characters are well-rounded. They don't leave these flat female characters, mm-hmm. and they're strong. I mean, you'd have Julie. No, God, I can't think of the people's names.
Juliet,
and she's strong, and she's fighting for her own sanity now, and she's come back, and she's just well rounded. I don't know how she maintains her practice as a vet because she's never in the office.
Poorly.
Yeah, but, you know, that's a part of her being strong. And she, you know, literally went to battle with the ogre character in season two. I'm not sure which season that was now. Maybe that was season one. Anyway, she's strong. She's not, you know, cowering
in
a corner.
She's not the damsel in distress.
She's not the one cowering in the corner, has to be saved all the time.
And Rosalie is a really strong character, too.
Rosalie is smart. And resourceful and has all this background. She's another character that we haven't seen as much about.
That's
her
true.
Background. Because, you know, her family has some kind of connection with being protectors in the Wesson community. And we haven't really understood that, but there was that one episode where she called in a favor and the boogeyman that was threatening them all, gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before we move on, I just want to say that it's got one of the best villains turned curious ally.
Yeah.
In
Renard.
Captain Renard.
Yes. Yeah.
The first season, he was very much the bad guy.
Yes.
And then the second season, you sit there and go, oh.
Good bad?
You're still not a good person. But it's kind of good that you're on our side, sort of.
I always feel like there's, he has a master plan in his brain. We're not privy to that, but he has his master plan, and everybody else is kind of chess pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. He's a wonderful actor, it's a show I'm actually looking forward to watching.
I think he gets
too,
teased a lot about his shirtless episodes.
I'm sure he does, but he's a brave man for doing it anyway. Yeah. So.
So the other show that's probably going to have several shirtless scenes, Dracula.
One suspects, since it's going to be... Which station?
It's going to be NBC.
It is NBC, yeah.
Yeah, oh. Right after Grimm.
Right after Grimm.
And this is... I don't know if this is going to be an origin or not. I would imagine we'll probably at least get bits and pieces of the origin at some point, maybe.
I haven't heard about this one.
I think it's weird though that NBC Universal is doing two different adaptations of Dracula at the same time. You've got NBC doing the TV show version, and you've got Universal Studios doing a movie version, and they're telling the same story-ish. I'm like,
it almost seems like you've got two production companies with two different ideas, and NBC just managed to jump on both of them so that nobody's competing with them.
Or maybe they're getting a special on the sets.
Okay, I will say that, I will say this, is that it is a British and American production that is shot in England.
The TV show.
The TV show is a British and American production.
Collaboration.
Yeah. And it is being aired on Sky Living and NBC.
Hmm. So it's a co-production between the two.
That's right. And it does have a pretty decent cast.
Well, yeah, and
Jonathan Rhys
like,
Meyers.
It looks like it's going to do if it does well, it does well, but you know, how many times can you tell the Dracula story in the same year?
Oh.
A couple?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them.
We can do four, because how many Oz stories are we doing?
But if, for those of you who have not heard the synopsis from the fine folks over at Wikipedia, Dracula comes to London, posing as an American entrepreneur who wants to bring modern science to the Victorian society. In reality, Dracula seeks revenge on those who betrayed him centuries earlier. As Dracula's plans move towards fruition, he falls hopelessly in love with a woman who may be a reincarnation of his deceased wife.
Wait a minute, is it modern? It's modern setting?
I'm going to say no, because
it's a Victorian.
Victorian.
Okay. All right.
But what's curious to me is that it actually seems a lot more, the reincarnation of the dead wife is very much the Bram Stoker's Dracula, the film. And because that's actually not really part of the story, but nonetheless, it's got potential. And frankly, I'm a little more enthusiastic that it's coming from a British production company.
Well, and this says it's going to be just a 10-episode limited series, so there may not be any plans to do anything after that.
Start, middle, and end. It's not a bad idea.
Or they could do,
and you know where you're going with it.
Well, and that's the difference between a lot of British programming and American programming, right, is that they are much more comfortable doing the 6-episode season, and then they're done. And they're 10-episode season, and they're done. They have shows that go on like Coronation Street or Doctor Who or any of those things that they've been running forever. But they do a lot of stuff that's like, okay, here's the 6 episodes of Ultraviolet. We're out.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So now we're going to get to the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Oh no.
Oh no. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Such an unwieldy title, because it started out as S.H.I.E.L.D., then it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., then it was Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I get that all of the movies have Marvel's...
It will pretty much be referred to as S.H.I.E.L.D., you know it will be.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm going to call it. We're just going to look...
It's the Agent Coulson show.
Yeah.
Right.
Agent Coulson.
Agent Coulson, then Friends.
Yes. Yes, it's the Agent Coulson Hour.
You can come up with a theme song for the Agent Coulson Hour.
Wouldn't that be something? Can you imagine Phil Coulson on Laugh-In?
Yes. Oh, geez.
Yes, I can, actually. I could see him in a Hollywood Squares episode. That would be actually be really funny.
Or Match Game.
Oh. Okay, you just dated us all really badly right there. I just want you to know that you have now outed everyone's age in this.
But that would be
he would be on a team with Betty White.
Oh yes,
I will pay money to see this.
We may make that.
I think we're gonna have to.
Oh, that would be funny. Okay.
Even if it's just an audio version.
Oh, that would be fun.
That would be very, very cool.
That would be fun. All right, let's get to work on that. All right, so Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's coming back. Phil Coulson's alive. We don't know how.
They promise there will be an explanation.
There will be an explanation, but, like Joss Whedon is saying, it's going to be stretched out over the course of the series. We're not going to get a full answer right at the very beginning.
I'm okay with that.
I am too. Yeah, I think, given the fact that there was so much speculation out of the Avengers movie that Coulson, whether Coulson was actually dead or not, spoilers. I'm giving them plenty of wiggle room to to give us a good explanation why, you know, how Coulson is still alive, whether, you know, and it doesn't even have to be a life model decoy for me. It's, you know, it could be something as simple as Nick Fury lied,
mm-hmm.
because Nick Fury lies. You know, because they did a very good job beating us over the head with Nick Fury is the ultimate spy and he lies. And we get that a lot in that movie. And, you know, especially at the end when Agent Hill catches him out and says, those Captain America, are,
the
cards weren't in his jacket, they were in his locker, you know, you lied to them. And, you know, so if he lied about the cards, he could have lied about everything else. It could be something as easy as that, but being Joss Whedon, it's not going to be that easy.
I would just like to point out that this is actually going to ultimately be a fairly small portion of the series, and everyone is talking about this.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody is talking about the fact that we saw him die. How is he back from the dead? And everyone's like going, you realize there's like 7,000 other people in this show, right? Except for this one guy.
But
we love him, but it's still...
But see, the thing about it is, though, I mean, Coulson started out as a completely incidental character.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking about breakout characters. He is probably the ultimate breakout character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well, yeah, he's not...
He's it.
Well, yeah, he went from being a character who was created for the movies.
Yeah.
And now he's in the comics.
He's in the comics.
He is... he died, and now he's got his own show.
Yeah,
it's almost a Harley Quinn.
That's quite a feat.
He's also in the animated.
Yes.
He's in
Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's the principal of the school.
So it's and it's him. It's not another guy who, you know, named Coulson who looks nothing like him. It's him.
It's him.
So I think that for a show like this, which, you know, you've got a selling point of a character who's the not super powered character in this film's about superheroes, who gets his own show. It's pretty cool. That's a nice gig if you can get it.
I only wish Chloe from Smallville would have been able to get the same treatment.
She did get put into the comic books. She did get that. She did get her own show.
She could have had her own show. She could have had her own show. That's true.
Don't we? And then they did. And then they're like, no, we don't really want to keep her there.
Although, you know, I think an argument could be made that Veronica Mars was kind of a Chloe Sullivan type, only without the science fiction elements. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why those characters resonated so much with people, because they were similar. You know, the show was written. I mean, Veronica Mars was really well written. And I think maybe we get our Chloe Sullivan fix watching Veronica Mars.
Maybe. You could argue that. You could argue that.
Maybe.
So here's the question about S.H.I.E.L.D., which I will not be referring it to its extremely long and wieldy title, because it's got a much better shorter title, which is an acronym anyway, so it's already even longer title than it seems to be. So it's going to have they've already said they're not going to have the big guns of the films show up. Odds are slim you're going to get an Iron Man appearance. Odds are slim you're going to get a Thor appearance.
It might be something like they did with at the beginning of Avengers, where you've got video of everybody.
Sure, I'm sure there'll be references. People will talk about it and sit there, and you know. But at the same time, Marvel's got a fairly rich universe of secondary villains that could be tackled pretty easily, this is going to be a show. We know it's going to be a show where essentially it's not going to be a villain of the week necessarily, but their shield, they're going to go up against the bad guys a lot,
right?
And so maybe are we going to get to see more Hydra? Are we going to get to see AIM? Are we going to get to see some of the other organizations that S.H.I.E.L.D. has fought regularly over the decades? Or are we going to get more? Is it going to be more of a superpowered, you know, villains that end up being recurring villains or things like that?
I wonder if it might be a little bit of both.
I'd love to see Baron Zemo show up or some of these other characters. I mean, there's a lot of... Especially with Captain America and the first event, especially with the sequel, going back and looking at the World War II and the Winter Soldier and things like that, you've got a lot of chance to show the history that they're, I mean, of this universe.
Well, and they've already shown that they're not afraid to pull out a little bit more obscure characters, because you've got, you know, MODOK. Everybody knows MODOK from the animated show, most of the thing. But in the new one, in Winter Soldier, we've got Batroc. Mm-hmm. And he's not top shelf villain out of Captain America's gallery.
Let's give his full name, which is Batroc the Leaper.
The Leaper.
Which is his entire thing. Is that
what he does.
He jumps.
He leaps.
He leaps. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And only
this time
again.
It's gonna only this time it's gonna be parkour.
Which actually makes a certain amount of sense.
Oh sure.
And I think that if he's that kind of, you know, because Cap might be strong. He's going to take a certain amount of damage. He's going to be a certain degree faster than a person, mm-hmm. or a regular person. He's a super soldier, after all.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, somebody who's well-trained and is literally going to bounce off walls like that, or be able to have that kind of flexibility and speed that those guys have, if they spend all their time training at, you know, they move incredibly fast. It's a very cool thing to watch.
And I think it also really gives them a chance to introduce a little bit of the Bourne, you know, the Bourne Ultimatum type stuff. Stunt work
without the camera work.
Hopefully.
And also with doing the series, we talked about a couple times before about introducing new characters in this mm-hmm. this way. This gives them a chance to reimagine the universe in a sense and bring in characters that were never in the comic books. Gives you some new.
Well,
some
we kind of do with our cast of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that he has. And someone can easily correct me on this. I don't recognize any of the names of these characters as being ones that have been.
I think they're all new.
Ones that have been appeared in the comics before. They may be all new.
Because this is Section 7. It's something completely new.
did you guys see that minute clip where he goes down and he's recruiting one of them and she's in the basement of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, yeah.
It's. If the rest of the writing in that show is as good as the stuff we've seen so far, that very dry humor, that very it is very Whedon-esque. This is very true. But if we can maintain this, then it will, with nothing else, be a very entertaining show for just the way the characters interact with each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think too that given Joss Whedon's track record, I think we're going to get a little bit more leeway, shall we say, on the ratings, because you know, you look at his history with Fox, the shows that he's done over there that have died early deaths, and the fact that now this is a Marvel property on a Disney-owned network.
Yeah, I think
in one of the biggest franchises that they have right now, even if the show is completely not good, which you
it'll,
know, the,
it'll make
the odds
it'll make through
even,
the full season.
Yeah, it'll go through the full season at least. But yeah, you know, if it was on Sci-Fi, not so much.
Three episodes in,
yeah,
and it'll be gone.
Fox, it would be gone. But I'm seeing here. TV.com making a prediction that S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to debut huge, but they're going to fall fast. It's the most anticipated new series of the fall. They say the hype might work against it because it
okay,
is
expectations.
So.
But you know what? That is such generic. It's a generic
yeah.
prediction.
No.
I don't think that's not really saying anything. It's like, oh, this, it's been really really hyped. Well, of course, everything that's hyped really really big sees a fall off. But if the same folks, how many people went to see Avengers?
Me.
A lot.
How many people went to see Captain America or Thor or Iron Man or 1, 2, and 3? I mean, these are the same. This is the audience they're trying to get for this television show. And, unless they really screw it up.
Sounds like they're just trying
the
to be critical
odds,
about something.
The odds are that they're else. Not going to really screw this up.
No, they're not. I mean, they could.
It's a Joss property, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that it'll be fine.
But so yeah, of course, their numbers are going to fall off. Every show's numbers fall off. It doesn't matter how big they get, how big they start.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm wondering how many of the people who are watching it are not going to watch it live. You're going to have a lot of live plus three, live plus seven. people that watch it online, people sure. that watch it afterwards.
But these shows are they're counting on those numbers too. So
yeah,
that's not a bad thing.
But the Nielsen numbers are not there. Those
well,
are not Nielsen
but see,
numbers.
But see, Nielsen is recalculating how they're doing things.
Yeah,
all these
changing.
People are recalculating.
But Nielsen
doing
is so far behind the curve on any of this stuff.
Yeah, but it is being changed. It is being looked at, and I don't think they're going to worry about the Nielsen ratings on this show. I think that with some of these genre shows, where you've got the kind of creative teams they've got and the built-in audience, Nielsen isn't going to be the big concern on this.
At the same time, though, the advertisers look at Nielsen numbers as
Nielsen's
flawed as they
the
are.
Yeah, but when you're streaming stuff online, it's later, and you're Netflixing it or whatever the heck it is. It's coming with advertising built in. And you can't fast forward through it, a lot of this stuff. Some of this stuff is you can't get around it. You have to wait for the ad to finish before you can play the episode.
Yeah. And you've also got to consider that a lot of your cable and satellite providers and that type of thing are getting their own numbers on their viewers. And so, and that's, you know, Nielsen's not really the end all nowadays.
So I know when I interviewed the two creators of Grimm, they specifically were applauding and asking for people to watch the shows over again and watch their recorded episodes because they were getting counts from those.
Yes.
Well,
so
and yeah,
I know that's
in the different in the grand scheme of things, the shows and the networks do look at live plus three, live plus seven. You know,
right.
So they look at the day of when it airs, and they look at, you know, 3 days later and a week later. And, you know, the statistics do show that, especially with genre audiences, there's a lot of delayed viewing. There's a lot of recorded stuff. And that has to figure into it. But the Nielsen numbers don't count it. Now, they are revising, so they do have a count of some of that in some cases. But how much of that is what the advertisers see? How much of that is what the networks see? Because I know working at a TV station for as long as I did, there are different ways that all of those numbers are presented depending on who's presenting it or what the purpose is behind it and
to
who
the
it's
advertisers.
Being presented to. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of back and forth with
but
ratings
there,
numbers.
What is it? I think it's like 18, 20, 25% of people are watching things when
live.
They are being aired for the first time.
Well,
the
yeah.
whole
wow.
model is changing.
Well, and you've got all the cord cutters. You've got over 5 million people in this country that don't have a TV.
Or
they're watching online.
Yeah.
I mean, they're streaming it.
And that's why you're getting the different sources of the data, not just from Nielsen. And they're kind of, they're looking at the Nielsens, but they're looking at so much more than that.
I think this show and shows like this, that I mean, admittedly, there are very few shows that are going to come in with the built-in audience this has. Maybe the originals will. I mean, Vampire Diaries is very popular.
Right.
Maybe the originals will have a big thing. You know, if they did a True Blood spinoff, if they, you know, the Walking Dead spinoff, these are, you know, there's some potential there for pulling in. But I think very few things have this kind of built-in audience.
It's true.
Where you're dragging in, you've got a movie audience for an incredibly successful series of films. And here's going to be a weekly television show starring a character who everybody seemed to just go, this guy is awesome. You know?
Everybody wants to root for him.
I think, yeah. And frankly, you know, Joss Whedon may make a history... may have a history of killing some of his characters in ways that will traumatize the audience greatly.
Not quite like Stephen Moffat
leaf
does.
Leaf on the wind.
I'm a leaf on a wind. Oh my god! That's still. But at the same time, you know, he earns those deaths. He earns those emotional responses, and he earned that. You know that. You know, Phil dying in Avengers. Spoiler. Oops.
Wait, what?
I'm sorry. I hate to be the ones to break it to you, but Joss Whedon kills his own characters. But at the same time, he does it well, and he makes you have the earned emotional response to that.
Although the argument can be made that the Wash death wasn't earned in the story, it was just there.
You could make that argument, but you had the entire run of Firefly to fall in love with the characters.
Wash die?
No. Wash is fine. Everyone's fine. Everyone makes it through the entire film.
Yeah.
And they're all happy at the end. Oh my. But
it's too soon.
Yeah, too soon. Serenity. Is a film that counts. Yes, you can watch that film raw. You don't have to watch Firefly to watch that film. They give you enough backstory for that works. But that film was not made for that audience.
No.
You know that that film was made for everyone who had watched Firefly, who knew those characters. Mm-hmm.
And
so,
needed an ending.
So for that, those two deaths in that film, yes, the audience, I think those were earned deaths. They were not deaths I wanted. Mm-hmm. But they drove the story forward. The losing book made Mal the soldier Mal did not want to be again.
Right,
and that was to succeed at doing what he wanted to do, to save the system the way he wanted to,
yeah,
the way he needed to. He had to become the guy he had refused to be since the beginning of the show. That was the trigger. Losing Wash was the moment where you sat there and went, all of our characters are in danger.
Yeah.
And that was an honest... I mean, I hate to say it, but I love the movies. It's not Star Wars, where the only people you're going to die... The only people who are really going to die...
Depends on the color of your shirt.
Or Star Trek. Yeah,
Star Trek.
You know, you're not going to kill... No, but the same thing. You know, who did we really lose in Star Wars? We lost Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we didn't really lose him.
Right. Yeah, even then, he's not really dead. He's one with the Force. So...
But that's Campbell.
Oh yeah, of course.
That's classic Campbell.
Of course, but so I think that that's the kind of thing where if you I have great faith actually that there will be a character that we are introduced to in the first few episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. who will be dead by the end of the season, because in all fairness to this kind of storytelling, is that if the people don't die. It's less realistic. It doesn't have the same weight to have these people. You know,
can't put people in jeopardy week after week without
not have consequence.
Dying. Yeah.
So let's do a prediction here. Who's going to buy it?
Oh,
ooh,
one of the young pretty ones. And there's about seven of them actually. I know. I don't know enough about any of these characters yet.
Just based on what I'll let everybody else make their prediction first.
we are washing our hands of this till we watch the first episode. But then we're talking about doing a podcast of the first after the first episode.
After the first episode, we'll do one every podcast.
We need there will be the time to make the prediction of which one of these lovely young people is marked for death.
I already have my thought.
I'm sure you do.
I do. I could tell you what kind of death I. In terms of TV shows, not just in genre, but outside as well. In genre, you know, in Serenity, when Wash was killed, you didn't expect it. It was just out of nowhere. Boom. Mm-hmm. He was gone. It's almost like at the end of first season of NCIS, they had Agent Catherine Todd.
Right.
Where it was mid-sentence, boom, bullet right between the eyes. You know, she was one of the main characters. And so it would be, it really makes it interesting when they're getting into danger, they get out of danger. They get into danger, they get out of danger, and then all of a sudden, boom, one's gone.
Yeah.
Well, and it'll probably be a rule of three like that, where you have a circumstance that this could be it, and it's not. And then you have a second one the same way. And then the third one is the one where somebody's going to buy it.
Right.
I think they'll follow some kind of a formula. We may not be privy to what it is. But I think
I wasn't in on the writing session, so yeah.
Wouldn't it be fun to be there though?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Just to listen to the thought.
But at the same time, you know, while Joss Whedon has got input, he is not the primary writer on
this
show.
That's right. It's his brother and his sister-in-law.
So, you know, but it is part of Team Whedon, so I think the chance of there being the death of a quickly beloved character.
Yeah, well, and Jed's been doing this kind of thing, you know, right alongside his brother. I mean, so you know, you could argue that he's just as responsible for character deaths as Joss is.
Yes, but Joss's name is the big one on the screen. Blinks, yeah.
I heard an interesting theory, and this is going to have to be a discussion for another day. I've heard an interesting theory about how Ultron is going to come around.
Ooh.
I've actually heard two theories,
and
one of them involves the death of a major character in Avengers. I'm gonna leave it at that. is a very interesting theory. We need to discuss it at some point.
I think I know this theory, but I don't think I agree with this theory. But that's okay.
I'm not saying that that's what they're going to go with. But it is an interesting theory.
Is this cryptic enough for you folks?
It's for me.
So now, what we're planning on doing?
I do want to reference one other show here. Yes. It's coming up. The Tomorrow People.
The Tomorrow.
Oh yes.
Okay. And
oh my God.
and the reason I want to reference this is that I am torn about this show because I watched the original British series.
Me too.
And and loved it.
See, I didn't realize it was a remake.
It is so
it
much.
It doesn't
is,
surprise me.
It is
it's
so
a
much a remake. But the thing is, it's for American audiences, it's actually a very obscure remake. Because it was not a huge hit in the States when it was broadcast here. It was very much a product of its time. The clothes are very dated. The technology is very dated. The special effects are extremely dated. But it was still a very, very interesting show.
That Tomorrow People was, or at least when I watched it, was on the heyday of Nickelodeon.
Yes.
In the early 90s.
Back when you were getting a lot of original, very interesting programming coming in through that early
You
cable.
Can't do that on television.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of those shows were Canadian exactly. back then. But...
A lot of Canadian shows, a lot of British shows were coming in, and we were getting that stuff through shows like Nickelodeon, channels like that. But the remake, the reboot, the new American version, I'm not impressed with what I've seen so far. But I will say this, Mark Pellegrino
mm-hmm.
is the bad guy.
Well, right. There you go.
So it's a reason to watch this show is the fact that Lucifer or Jacob or pick one of the genre shows that he has shown up in and done a really, really good job at is going to be the bad guy, who apparently is someone who has a justification for being the bad guy from what I've read. So I'm so torn on this because I honestly, part of me does not want to watch it because it's never going to be as good as when I was 16 years old or 15 or 16 years old watching it for the first time, right?
Yeah.
And frankly, it's another one of those shows full of pretty people.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a CW show.
And
of course.
And yeah. So, I don't know. But at the same time, I'm going to give it a shot because it's got...
Well, and the effects
look
pretty good.
The concept is good.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we've seen that concept quite a bit since. We called it Heroes. We called it X-Men
yep.
movies.
Mutant X.
We called it Alphas. And it's all about the way you tell that kind of story, right? So I don't know. I mean, it's...
Yep.
I'm concerned that it's not going to have the kind of depth to it that if you're going to try and break out this kind of storytelling, if you're going to try and do something where, oh, we're the next evolution of humanity, we're the mutants... If it's not told well, if you don't have that way of getting it out there and getting that story, making that story fresh, it's dead in the water.
Well, and that circles back to what we were talking about with Sleepy Hollow. If it's done well, no matter what the premise is, if it's got to be executed well, it's got to be done right. It has to be written well. It has to be acted well. And the execution is critical, especially with genre shows, because you could so screw this up.
So which genre show is not going to make it? Which one this season is already toast? We know it's dead in the water.
Of the new ones?
Yeah.
You mean just
of the new
ones?
Or the or any show that's coming back for another season, we're like, why does it have another season?
I think Revolution is not going to make it past two seasons.
I think Revolution will be the
this
last season.
The end.
I want to say that it'll probably be the same thing for Defiance.
Oh, I hope so.
I think unless Defiance really pulls
Although,
it together,
you know, they've added William Atherton to the cast, and he does a pretty good job with characters that he's done. I mean,
I know,
he's over the top.
He's
but
wonderful. I don't think it's gonna be enough to save it.
It probably won't be. Having said that, though, I think Defiance will be around as long as the video games are selling, because I have held the contention since the very beginning that Defiance is a multi-million-dollar advertising campaign for the video game. I don't think that show would have survived as long as it did without the video game, because they have invested so much money into this.
I don't think that show would have survived on a different network.
It wouldn't. It wouldn't.
Even with the video game, I don't think it would have survived with it.
Sci-fi is so invested in the show because they have to sell the video game. And I think, you know, despite whether or not the show deserves to die, a very painful, flaming death.
Okay, you just have some issues here because nobody will write the review for you.
Well, there is that too. But I'm sitting there thinking, why is this show still on the air? And Warehouse 13's been canceled. Why is this show still on the air? And Alpha's been canceled. You know. Don't tell me you sit there and, you know, and the suits at Sci-Fi sit there and they talk about, you know, Eureka and Alphas and Warehouse 13 and the special effects budgets being what they are on those shows compared to what they're doing on Defiance.
Yeah, no,
you can't justify
Alpha's,
that
Alpha's
as a
special
as a,
effects
yeah.
budget was yeah.
Yeah, you cannot use that as an excuse to cancel these shows anymore. I don't buy that they were getting too expensive. I really don't. And the only reason that they would have even possibly remotely be getting expensive is because they're popular and they have an audience. They have people that are watching the show. You want the show to get more expensive because
you want to put the quality into it.
The numbers are there and the ratings are there. The people are watching it. You get the advertising dollars to pay for the cost. And it's a no-brainer for me. But I'm still of the opinion that Sci-Fi wants to kill their science fiction shows.
I think they have to change their name, don't they?
They did.
SYFY.
I mean, that's a whole another discussion there. But
at the same time, this season they are rolling out. I mean, they have actual
they are, but
more genre programming.
I'm wondering how many of them will actually go to series. We've got a number of shows that are going to pilot.
True.
But there's no guarantee that they're going to be picked up. I mean, Helix is the only one with a 13-episode order. And it's only 13 episodes. It's not 20. It's not 22. It's not multi-season. It's 13. And that, to me, says it's going to be a one and done.
You know what?
Unless the numbers are really phenomenal.
But you know what? If Sci-Fi were to do a whole series of 13 episodes, one and done storytelling,
that'd be fine.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Oh,
if
sure.
they did
they
them well.
All sorts of stories.
Well,
that's the key.
Yeah,
that's
the
key.
Qualifier. Yeah, we will withhold the discussion of the sci-fi movies.
Can you imagine 13 episodes of Sharknado?
Oh, jeez!
Actually, yes, I can. And
it's not something we want to imagine.
It's not a pretty world.
It's not. But you know, it's one of the. I mean, we haven't even touched on Dominion, which
no.
you know we talk about. You know, you mentioned Lucifer on the other. It's you know. The movie came out, what, 10 years ago?
Less than that, but it's the thing is that it was not a particularly good film.
And it didn't do very well, and now I'm wondering, they're doing a series based on a movie that not too many people saw fairly long time ago in TV terms, you know, in dog years. Mm-hmm. Why are they bringing that show back now?
But you know what, here's the thing, is that we've talked about this before, too, and this has popped up, I know a lot of people have thought this as well. If you're going to remake something, remake the thing that didn't work.
But it's not a remake. It's not a remake. It's a sequel.
But if you're...
It's like...
Yeah, but
they're not going to... 25 years later, after the movie.
They will give you plenty of backstory in the course of the show. They're not going to make you go back and watch the movie. That's not how these things work.
Yeah.
So basically, it's going to get to be a remake. Because you know what happened at the end of the movie? The good guys won. You know what happens at the beginning of this show? They didn't. Not really,
and you know, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be doing it.
Well, I'm just saying, but if you're going to tell a story, don't remake Gattaca, don't remake Blade Runner, don't remake Star Wars, remake the movies that don't work. Yes, there's a time and a place to remake a Flash Gordon movie. As much as I love that film, you know, it's not a great movie. It's a fun movie. Remake the films that didn't work out well. If you're going to do that, if you're going to do a sequel, if you have to make a remake,
can we remake JJ Trek?
Give it 25 years, and you know they will.
It's sort of doing the remake thing. Sort of reminds me of Buffy. They had the old movie, and they.
I loved that movie.
Yeah, I thought that was a great movie.
But it was the series just when it was a completely different thing.
We
it
can
was.
Do anything. Oh yeah, clap.
And Paul Reubens' death scene.
And yet every time he spoke, you think of Pee Wee Herman. That's that's just Paul Reubens.
I love that film
And I think that's how we ought to end the show.
I think so.
This is our death scene.
Doing the scene. And,
but yeah, before we do that, I want to make sure that everybody knows that you can subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on iTunes under Sci-Fi for Me Radio. You can find a link on our homepage at scififorme.com. We're on the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, Google+, LinkedIn, not Instagram.
Yet.
Not MySpace, ever.
Yeah. Does MySpace still exist?
It does.
I don't know.
I haven't even looked at it. Complete platform redesign. It's very confusing.
I thought it had fossilized by now.
But anyway, yeah, link over to us, subscribe to the podcast, visit our main site, scififorme.com, where you can find all the latest news, reviews, TV show recaps, and interviews. We've got Sci-Fi for Me TV over at our YouTube channel, where you can see a number of different programs that focus on all sorts of things. Comic books, Star Wars, science fiction headlines, the latest stuff from the week. And with that, we're going to let you know that following every new episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'll say it officially one more time, we will record a podcast with our reactions to that episode. So our recap, as it were, is going to be in the form of a podcast, which you can listen to, download or click to listen. And then you can give us comments and let us know if we're on the right track with some of the stuff we think, or if we're full of it. Sometimes it'll be both.
Probably both.
Yeah.
A lot of both.
All right. With that, thanks for joining us. Maya Aides, Tim Harvey, Dan Hanley, and Eric Williams, all the way out in L.A., my name is Jason Hunt. Thank you for listening. And we are going to go out Buffy style.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2013 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media.